are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, I know you've heard them say you cannot pour from an empty cup, right? And you were not designed to run dry. The second greatest commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself, implies that self-love, in the right measure, is actually biblical, right? So I want to talk about what it really means to honor your needs while also loving others well. And Pastor Munga joins us once again for the conversation on balancing self-sacrifice and self-care. My pastor, good morning and welcome back once again.
Thank you, my sister Wong. Good morning and good morning, our listeners.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. Let's start with a word of prayer.
Thank you. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and for allowing us to have a moment to have a conversation to the glory and honor of your name. We pray that you guide us so that we'll come closer to you, and you are going to speak to us and you are going to speak through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor, how does healthy self-respect enhance our ability to love others? In fact, can I love others if I don't love myself?
No.
Okay.
Because you can only give what you have.
Okay.
In other words, you extend to others what you have extended to yourself. So, just like it has been said, people who are injured, they also injure others. You don't love yourself, that means you hate yourself.
Hey.
Yeah, if you don't love yourself, that means you hate yourself. There are people who hate themselves. They don't like the way they appear, the way they talk, everything about themselves. And no wonder the Bible says, before you love the neighbor, you have to love the other person the way you love yourself, meaning it has to start with you.
Yeah.
Before you extend this love to another person, it has first to come to you, yourself. And what you have done to yourself, you extend to another person also.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. What does as yourself mean in the command to love your neighbor as yourself? What does that look like? And I suppose that's the crux of this entire conversation that we're having throughout this week. How do we love ourselves correctly?
In the first place, God loved us as human beings. I will not injure myself. Actually, it means you equate it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So, yes, as you love yourself, meaning this thing of love has to start with yourself. And because I love myself, then I will also love the other person. I have to take care of myself. And that means that is a holistic arrangement, physically, spiritually, economically. There are needs that I need in my life. When I have food on my table, is this food going to nourish me? Because this is what is building me or destroying me.
Yes.
In the morning, I had a conversation on Facebook where we are looking at whatever you drink. It's either it destroys you or it builds you.
Hey.
There is nothing neutral. Whatever you put on the table to eat, either it builds, it shortens your life or it elongates your life. There are just no two ways about whether you are a Christian or you're not a Christian. Yeah. It applies. So that means even when I put food on the table, I have to say, is this thing destroying me? So if it's destroying, because there are certain things, our listeners and sisters, certain foods that are test. You just want to eat this.
Exactly.
At the same time, you are an informed person. You know that this ice cream is actually destroying me. But it's very tasty and you love it.
You're disturbing
yourself. Yes, that is painful truth, but it is not harmful. Yes, you know that this thing. Yes, please.
No, I'm just thinking because you're talking about, you know, something as simple as what you're drinking or what you're eating. It sounds so trivial because, and I'm talking now to Adventists out there. We have this idea that, no, I don't drink alcohol, so I should be fine. Or I don't eat pork. Everything else is fine. So we have this idea. Ice cream is not banned in the Bible, so it must be fine. And yet we know the truth. Come on. Some of the things the Bible does not have to explicitly say, you know, name the things. But when you put it that way, that literally everything you put in your body, you know, there's nothing neutral. I think that's the thing that jerked me the most, that there's nothing neutral. Every single thing that you eat drink, consume, entertainment, nothing is neutral. So you have to ask yourself the question, is this building me or is it destroying me? And that's a heavy question.
And let me also say something that is in more provocative.
Okay.
Did you know that you care more did you know that you care more for your car than you care for your body?
Hey.
Because you have never put water in the fuel tank.
Hey, Pastor.
The engine oil, you put the right one. You take the car for servicing when it's about to be serviced. When there's some funny noise, you go and have it checked. So when you really sit down, you find that we take good care of our cars than we take care of ourselves as human beings.
You know, when you're
you can dispute if I'm saying it's not true.
It's very true.
You are free.
Because I'm thinking to myself, okay, so we all understand the laws of health. We know what's not good for us. But then we also have this idea that, well, a little bit of everything shouldn't be too harmful. So, yeah, sure, I don't eat ice cream every single day, but every now and then should be fine. It can't be that harmful. If I am generally temperate, if I am a healthy person, doesn't mean I must completely abstain. So in my head, I'm thinking about the example that you've just given. That's like saying in my car, just once in a while.
You put water where you're supposed to put the engine oil. Just put a half a liter of water.
Just a little bit.
And see how long that car will take. Yes.
Oh, wow. So, but does it have to be that serious? Because I think our thing is, come on, everything doesn't have to be that deep if I am disciplined about it. So those little things, just every now and again, the car will be destroyed, but will my body be destroyed? Is that an act of self-harm in a way by taking things that are not good for me, but it's just a little bit?
Yes. And that little bit, just that little dose, it will also accumulate, just like we have given the example of a car. Just put, okay, today let me just put half a cup of water in the where I'm supposed to put engine oil.
Yeah.
And the other day you do the same. At the end of the day, you pay the price.
Hey, this thing is serious. Hey.
And that is self-care now, self-respect.
Yeah.
Do we really care for ourselves in the true sense of the word?
Yeah.
We don't.
Sure. Now, That's something that I think a lot of us are going to have to chew on for a while after the conversation. But how do we avoid tipping now from healthy self-care into self-centeredness? This is another thing. It's a very easy to cross from one to the other. I feel like the line is very thin between the two.
Exactly. Because when you talk about self-care, then you're talking about taking care of yourself, that you are in your good self, giving yourself what you need. And self-centeredness now is when life just centers on you. It's like there's no one around. Whatever good thing must be around must be for you and you only. It's I, me. It just everything just has to be about you. If it's in a meeting, it's you on who should speak. It's only your opinion that should prevail.
Mm.
That is now self-centeredness. Mm. You are in other words, you become selfish.
Yeah.
You just want everything to yourself.
Yeah.
Whatever is good should come to you. And that is now not all right. When you are self-centered, everything now you want to be centered just around you. No, we are social beings, mm-hmm. and no human beings are an island. We are related to each other. So that means as I'm living my life, there is also another person somewhere.
Yeah.
And I also need to take care. As I care of myself, there's also another person who needs me. I also need another person somewhere.
Yeah.
And that is very important for us so that we don't drift into selfishness or self-centeredness. Yeah. I read of a story some time back of this young man in German. He was crossing a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started looking at himself, his image in the water.
Okay.
And he saw how handsome he was. He continued looking. Mm-hmm. He didn't know that he was actually moving off a bridge.
Uh-uh.
And finally, he dropped into the water. Why? Because he was looking at himself. And only himself. And he finally dropped in the water and drowned.
Mm.
We are talking about self-centeredness.
Yeah.
Just looking at yourself and nothing else. You end up destroying yourself.
Yeah. Sure. And I like the subject and how the Bible tells us, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The fact that it begins with you. I think one of the fears that a lot of people have when they think about community service or self-sacrifice is that I'm going to go too far. I'm going to start sacrificing myself. I'm going to start resenting people because I'm overextended. I'm just, it's too much. It's too much. I'm taking on too much for myself. But when you love yourself first, that goes back to what you were talking about the other day, setting healthy boundaries. Because you love yourself, you know when things are getting too much, you know how to set healthy boundaries and say, I'm going to be giving. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to be selfless, but up to a certain point, up to where it is healthy for me as well. And as I do that, I think an important thing is that I also learn to respect other people's boundaries. I also learn to not expect more of them than what they're willing to give. I stop having those, having that entitlement, like because I did this for you, so you must also do it for me. Or because you have more money than me, so when I ask to borrow, you should be able to give it to me or whatever. We have different expectations of each other. But when I have healthy boundaries for myself, I think that helps me also to have boundaries, to respect the boundaries of other people.
No, that is very important for sure. No wonder the Bible is full of this, see one another, love one another, bear each other's burden. We are interrelated. Yes. And as we are interrelated, we also, like you have rightly said, the boundaries are very important. That is, I have boundaries, others also have boundaries. As I'm enjoying my freedom, I should also remember that there are others also who are enjoying their freedom. Mm. And I should not disturb them, and I should not forget them. Much as I don't want others to cross the boundary into some areas of your life where you may need some privacy, I also need to do the same with others.
Amen.
That they need privacy or they are health boundaries that I need to keep.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, how can guilt distort our understanding of what we owe other people or what we think we owe other people?
Thank you very much. In Romans, Paul writes to them, say, at all costs, you owe no one anything apart from love. Owe no one anything apart from love.
Yeah.
The greatest thing that I owe you is love. The greatest thing that you owe me is love.
Mm.
When you smile at the other person, you are showing love to that person. When you visit someone, you are showing love to that person. Whether they are sick, whether they are in good health, whether they are passing through a trying moment or everything is going on well,
mm-hmm.
That is why ultimately that's what we owe others. Even when we help the needy, the bottom line is love. Like it was with Christ, when he saw the multitude,
yeah.
The Bible says he was moved with compassion.
Mm.
Then he speaks to them. He feeds the 5,000. Because when that element is removed, like Paul would write to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, say, you can give your boat to bend, you can help the needy, all your money you sacrifice. But if there's no love, he says that is nothing.
Yeah.
So what we owe others above all things is loving them. That is what we owe others, to love them and to show that love. Because it's one thing to love another person and it's another thing to show it.
Yes.
And we hear it when someone has died at a funeral, people talk about Pastor Munga, he was a good man, he did this, he did that, a long list that he never even heard.
Hey.
What could have made a difference if that was said to me?
Yeah.
Like nowadays we have got this 10 days where at the funeral, I don't know how it is done there in South Africa, when someone died, there's a point where people give a tribute.
Eish.
To say the good thing about this person. I said, no. When I attended one funeral of a man who was talking about his wife, I just got my phone, I wrote a tribute to my wife, things that I appreciate about her. I said, no, when she's still living,
wow.
I have to tell her.
Wow.
But I don't have to wait until she dies to say she was a good woman, she was a this and that. No.
Mm.
We have to do it now when they are living. When someone is dead, exactly.
And we have so many examples of people who, you know, wish they could have told someone that they appreciate and then it was too late. And for some reason, the cycle just keeps on going. It's almost as if we don't hear from other people's lessons. We don't learn from other people's lessons until it has happened to us. And then we are the next one saying, I wish I could have told my loved one that I appreciated them for this, this, and that. And it's so unfortunate. Now, as we're wrapping up this conversation, what are some ways to show love to yourself in a Christ-like manner? I would say to yourself as well as to other people, you're talking about how it's not just a word that we say. There has to be action behind it. And, you know, we have to express that love. How do we express love to ourselves and to other people in a Christ-like manner?
Thank you. In the first place, we need to manage ourselves holistically.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I need to manage myself emotionally. I need to manage myself well spiritually, physically, and also economically.
Okay.
Every day I wake up in the morning, I look at myself in the mirror, and I talk to myself, "Personally, you're a great guy."
Mm.
Not only great, but also handsome.
Yes.
Very handsome.
All right.
I don't have to wait for someone to tell me that I'm handsome. No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Come on.
In the image of God. And there's no human being on earth who is like me. And no one else God will make who is like me.
Mm.
So every time I wake up, I say, "Lord, thank you. I'm going out there to put a stamp, to put an impact on someone through your power." And when I'm with you, Jesus, I'm unstoppable. Jesus talked to you. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me."
Mm.
He was talking to himself, telling in the hearing of others, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." To open those who are blind, to do this, to do that. Now, that is very important for us. Because a lot of time we have got low self-esteem, which affects our productivity.
Mm-hmm.
You are a broadcaster there, you are a presenter, and you think there is someone who is better than you, which is never true. You are your own version. And as you are there, Bongi, there is something. There is one area in life where you are the greatest in this world. No one can equal you. No one can match you.
Mm.
That one you need to know. Because we see there are stars. Each one is a star. There is something that I can do better than any human being on earth.
Mm.
I need to have that, or I need to tell myself that every day.
Yeah.
Why? Because I was created in God's image. You remember how Paul would say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can all things.
Mm.
There's no impossible to him. There's no impossible in life if I'm in Christ.
If I'm in Christ.
And that is, we are talking about it. Show love to yourself. It has to be emotional. It has to be action. When I'm working, when it's lunchtime, say, "Well, I have to eat."
Yeah.
And I have to eat well.
Mm.
If I'm going to a place, I'm going to a meeting there, I look for the best place where I can sleep.
Mm.
I can have quality sleep. I don't have to say, "No, I just need shelter over my head." No, 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 no. What I can afford, I go there. I'm taking care of myself. Because at times we abuse ourselves.
Yeah.
You are doing this, you can't eat. No, we were busy. You can't eat this and that. You can't have enough time to rest. No, that is not right.
And we find glory.
Love yourself.
We glorify ourselves for that.
Yes, when you are busy with this appointment, that appointment, you can't. No, I didn't even eat lunch. No, 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 no. You are not wise. So that, you know, you see, I'm a pastor, I could have said you are foolish, but now I can't say that.
All right. Well, someone is arguing here that, you know, the Bible does not instruct us to love ourselves or to direct love to ourselves, and that rather it's directing mm-hmm. us to deposit love onto our neighbor, that love that was deposited by God into us. So we're loving our neighbor as God has loved us, not as we love ourselves. What would you say to that?
No, the Bible is very clear. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. As you. You is about you.
Right.
Of course, the love I extend to another person, the love I extend to another person, I extend myself. It's a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to extend to myself.
Mm-hmm.
What God has given me, I extend to myself first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. This gift of love that God has given me, before I give it to my neighbor, I give it to myself
mm-hmm.
by caring for myself. Because I cannot give to another person what I do not have. You cannot drive a car which is empty. It has to be filled with fuel, and the right fuel for that matter. And then that's when you can. So it's love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what is this love? This love comes from God.
Okay. So
like the Bible says, every good gift.
I'm saying, so even
it comes from God.
Yourself comes from God as well.
Yes, it can only come from God and nowhere else. Because the Bible is very clear. It says every good gift, it only comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
He made me. He made you. He made all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we have, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically, they are all like life. Life is a blessing. It's a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else is a package that comes from God. Right. You remember that aspect in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit,
yeah,
is love. It will be new, and that is a fruit mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit.
But there's a follow-up to that statement, which
yes.
is 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, which says, people who be lovers of themselves, and you know how the rest of it goes, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, and all of that. So I guess the worry is, when we love ourselves, does that automatically mean that we are now boastful and arrogant and proud? And I think that's also been part of the conversation this week, that what does loving yourself look like in the context of this verse, love your neighbor as yourself, versus in this verse, which says people will be lovers of themselves, boasters and proud and arrogant. Hello, Pastor, are you there?
They're not loving themselves. That means boasting. Okay, let me just...
We got cut off for a moment there. So you were saying?
Okay, I can... Yes, I was saying that... Actually, that verse, it talks about love of themselves. They need to qualify what it means by that. Boasters, meaning pride.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, you remember we talked about self-care and self-centeredness.
Yes.
Where you are proud. You are just thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
That other people are useless. It's just you. That is not what the Bible is talking about there. Mm. Yeah, that's what the Bible is talking about, issues of pride, where things are centered on yourself.
Yeah.
But does not talk about self-care.
Right, right. I hear you, and I think that makes a whole lot of sense, that the love that we're showing to ourselves, the love that God expects us to show to ourselves, is love that comes from Him, and it is a love that should be extended to our neighbors. The way that God loves us is not in a way that should make us proud and boastful and arrogant. The way that God loves us is a way that should make us aware of who we are, aware of what we are capable of in Him, give us that confidence, build us up as His children, not in our own power, but in His power. And I think if we have that view, that's a healthier way. But we'll continue the conversation, continue sending through your messages, +2773 470 3520. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. Let's wrap it up, and then tomorrow we will be concluding the conversation. God bless you.
It's a pleasure. God bless you too, and God bless our listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.